Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya of Schar Shabbos. Now, for some reason, Schar Shabbos has the mazel that when people are involved in business, the first question, their biggest concern is Schar Shabbos. As we will see, it is generally the least of the problems. There are many heterim for Schar Shabbos. And the Adrabah, the sugyas that we've discussed the past few weeks, Amir Lakum, and what we'll discuss next week, Mekach Memkar, are generally the bigger concerns. Now, to define the concept, what we've been dealing with until now is the idea of Amir La'akum. A person has a business, he wants to operate it on Shabbos, he knows he cannot do malacha. So when you tell a goy to do malacha for you, that is the sugya of Amir La'akum, and that's what we've discussed the past 5 weeks. The sugya of Schar Shabbos is a very different case. Here we are discussing when a yid works or performs work on Shabbos. Obviously, it is not a malacha. If it was a malacha, it would be asr. The cases where he's doing work which is not a malacha, there's nothing asr about what he's doing. Nevertheless, accepting payment for the work is going to be a problem of Schar Shabbos. Now, the sugya is it's in Bava Metzia and it's in Ksubis. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we had in the Mar Mekoymos discusses the idea, the concept of a shomer. Someone is paid to watch something. A shomer that is paid as a din of a shomer sachar, he's responsible, halacha we hold, on pshiyah, on gnei of aveda, he's only pater on oinsin. So the Gemara, if you hire someone to watch something, and you make up, you're going to pay him per day, $100 a day. So Zag the Gemara, in that case, even though he watches the item for a week straight or a month straight, since you're paying him per day, the halacha is, you cannot pay him on Shabbos. That is Schar Shabbos. Now, there's nothing wrong with watching something on Shabbos. There's no malacha involved. But the very fact that he's being paid for services performed on Shabbos, that would be Schar Shabbos, and he's not allowed to accept such payments. Because he's not allowed to accept such payments, if the item gets stolen on Shabbos, he's potter. If it gets stolen on a Tuesday, since he's getting paid to watch the item, he's a shomer sachar. He's responsible for gneiv aved. He's responsible for the loss. However, if it gets stolen on Shabbos, since the halacha is he's not allowed to charge, he's not allowed to be paid for the work that he performs on Shabbos, therefore he will have a din of a shomer chinam. He's essentially a volunteer, and he will not be responsible for what happened. Now the idea of Schar Shabbos, or the Isser, is to accept payment. There's an Isser, the payment that you receive for Shabbos, it is Asr Bahano. There is not, according to most Poskim, there's nothing wrong, at least conceptually, with paying for someone for services that they perform on Shabbos. And therefore, if you hire a goy to do something on Shabbos, so if you're hiring them to do a malacha, that's Amir Lakum, that's a problem as we discussed in the previous shiur. But if you're hiring them to do something which is not a malacha, you're hiring them to babysit, you're hiring them to clean, where they don't have to do a malacha, so in that case, there's no Isser Amir Lakum because there's no malacha involved. Schar Shabbos is not a problem either. There's nothing wrong with paying a goy for wages for Shabbos. The Isser is only the other way. To accept or to work for someone in exchange for payment, the Isser is on the person that's working. Now, if you hire a yid to do work for you on Shabbos, where there's no malacha, so there most of the achronim that discuss this say that you can't do it because of lifnei iver. Since he is not allowed to charge for the work that he did, so by you hiring him and agreeing to pay him, you're being over lifnei iver because you are giving him the opportunity for him to be over the Isser of Schar Shabbos. But the Isser, according to most poskim, is on the person who's doing the work, the person that's accepting the payment, not directly on the employer, the person that's actually hiring the worker.
What's the basis for the Isser?
Very good. So the Rashi in Ksubis says, the Isser is, it's a gzeira atu mekach u'memka.
Why is it on the other party too?
What?
So then if you hire somebody,
she's
on both ways, just like
by mekach. Okay, we may get back to this at the end of the year. Let's go through some of the reasons that maybe some of the parameters. Maybe we'll be able to get back to that at the end. Oh, very good, very good. I'll talk about that for a minute. So there's actually an interesting discussion in the Tur and Siman Tav Kuf Pei Hei, writes that in Ashkenaz when it came every Rosh Hashanah when it came to Tekiyah Shofar, so many people wanted the S'chus to be a Baal Tekiyah. So they had to set up a system where the person who got up earliest, the person who was Zoriz, first come, first serve. There was a big fight. Everyone wanted to chop the schus. Whoever came first, he got the shteller, he got the mitzvah of blowing the kiyah shofar. Zok the Torah, this is what happened in Ashkenaz. In the Svardisha Kehilas, he said for some reason people were not interested or did not have the zrizus to do the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. So much so, they didn't have a bal tekiah. They had to actually hire someone off the streets to blow shofar for them. Zok the Torah, besides for the fact that it's a zilzul, then what's going on? How come people are not grabbing the opportunity to do a mitzvah? Zok the Torah, I don't see any heter. Schar Shabbos. He's the bal tekiah. You're paying someone to work for you on Shabbos. Zok the Torah, I don't see any heter for it. V'al zeh nemar, avera gereres avera. They start off not being machshav mitzvahs. They end up being over the isser of Schar Shabbos because you're paying someone to work on Shabbos, on Yontif. The Beis Yosef, over there in Siman Tav Kuf Bei Hei, defends the practice. And he raises your kasha. He says, what's the isser of Schar Shabbos? So Rashi says, Gzeira atu mekachu memkar. What's the isser of mekachu memkar? Which of the Lama Tes Melachos includes mekachu memkar? The answer is none. Mekachu memkar is either Gzeira atu ksiva. We'll discuss this next week, but as everyone knows, if you're buying and selling, you have to have an accounting system. You have to keep track of what's being sold. So the Chazal asks the mekachu memkar because you come to write it down. Or because of Mimtzai Chavtzicha V'Davar Davar. But either way, it is certainly not an Isser D'Oraisa. Zok the Beis Yosef, if Mekachu Memkar is a Gzeira, then how could it be that they went at Schar Shabbos, which is they made a Gzeira Otu Mekachu Memkar? It's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Therefore, Zok the Beis Yosef, it's not really awesome. He says it's not a good thing. Again, he's going on the case of Ksubis. He said when Chazal had to make certain takonos, they did not want to make a takono that it seemed to include a Schar Shabbos, they avoided it. But because it is not a real Isser, Zok the Beis Yosef, b'mokhe mitzvah l'gazer. Since you need a bal tekiah, it's a necessity. If it's an Isser d'Rabbanon, an Isser is an Isser. But since it's not a real Isser, b'mokhe mitzvah, they weren't gozer, and it's mutter to hire a bal tekiah. Oh, very good, very good. We'll get to that svara soon. Very good. But so Beis Yosef in Hilchus Tekiah Shofar says this halacha. He says that it's mutter to pay someone for to do a mitzvah. But even there, the Beis Yosef says it's ein roya semen bracha. Although it's not aser, you can be semich on the mekilim. But the bal tekiah, the person who's taking money to do the mitzvah, will not see bracha from the money. He'll need a root canal or something. Somehow or another, this money will not stay by him, and it's not kedai to take the money. Now, the Chorayim do point out there's a bit of a stira because in Hilchah Shabbos and Simen Shin Vav, which is really which is where the halachos of Schar Shabbos are discussed, the Mechaber writes that it's also to take Schar Shabbos even by a mitzvah. V'yesh mi shemata. So that implies that Me'ikar Hadin it's aser, just V'yesh mi shemata. There are those that are matar it, but Me'ikar Hadin it's aser. However, in Hilchos Tekiah Shofar, there the Mechaber just writes that you could, but it's not in Roya Simen Bracha. And what many Achrayim say is Enochanami. The Yisayis and Mikra Hadin held that it was Aser. However, B'mokum had Tzairach, he says you could be Mekel. The Minog seems to have been Mekel. But regardless, it is Eino Raya Semen Bracha. It's not a good idea if you can to do it, if you can avoid it. Again, we'll see there are Heterim in many of the cases. No, even in Shin Vav, he's talking about, even Bakum Mitzvah, he says, Yesh Misha Mater, there's no heter of Schar Shabbos. It means, by Bakum Mitzvah, Yesh Misha Mater. But then, so it's Mashm Neker Hadin, even by Bakum Mitzvah, he holds that it's Aser. In Hilchos Tekiah Shofar, he seems to be Mekel straight out.
Isn't every Shvos
to Shvos to Bakum Mitzvah? It's Shvos to Shvos. Who told me Shvos to Shvos? Here, it's directly Schar Shabbos, right? It's not Amir Lamir, it's Schar Shabbos, it's one Shvos. Okay, so this is, to recap, we have the idea that Schar Shabbos, accepting wages on Shabbos, is going to be Aser. By the Dvar Mitzvah is a Machloikis. La Halacha, most Poiskim are to say the Minog is to be Mekel, but it's Ein Roya Semen Bracha. If there's a way to do it Beheter, certainly should be done. And throughout this year, we'll go through, there are many Heterim and many ways to avoid the Iser, which you know, typically could work out in one fashion or another. Now, where does Schar Shabbos apply? The Gemara in Ksubis and the Gemara in Bava Metzia are talking about wages. You hire a watchman to watch something on Shabbos, so you're paying him his wages. That is the case of Schar Shabbos. The Gemara in Ksubis is a similar case. It's talking about a husband and wife that are not fulfilling their obligations of the Ksuba. So depending on whichever one is not fulfilling, either we add to her ksuba or we take away from the ksuba, depending on who is not fulfilling the terms. So also, a person is not doing, it's the schar, what a person is doing or what should be doing and is not doing on Shabbos. The Rishonim add or extend this to cases of schirus, where you're renting real estate, a merchatz, you're renting a house, you're renting a bathhouse. So even though you're not dealing with wages of a person, you're dealing with a rental, still they apply the halacha of Schar Shabbos. Now this creates many shaylos. People who own real estate, they're renting out, they have tenants, a hotel, people come and go, a parking lot. All of these cases have questions of Schar Shabbos. So you're charging rent for the use of the item on Shabbos, and this all, again, we'll see the different heterim, but this all goes into the sugya of Schar Shabbos. One important case where it does not apply is it does not apply to Mekach u'Memkar. If a person sells something on Shabbos, so as we mentioned before, there's an Isser of Mekach u'Memkar. Very often not allowed to sell something on Shabbos. But if a person either sells it to Isser, or in cases where the Isser does not apply, which we'll discuss next week, there is nothing wrong with the proceeds. The person has a website and things are being sold, so if you go with the Matirim, which we'll discuss, so there is nothing wrong with the income that's generated that is not called Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is you worked on Shabbos, or the payment that you've received for someone using your item on Shabbos. But if you sell something, even though the sale took place on Shabbos, the money is not nothing to do with Shabbos really. The money is the value of the item that you sold, and there the Isser of Schar Shabbos will not apply according to virtually all of the Pesachim. Excuse me? The vending machine will be the example that we'll discuss next week. You know, to skip to the bottom line, most poskim are makel by a vending machine. They say there's no issur mekel kumemkar. Once there's no issur mekel kumemkar, there's no issur of schar Shabbos, because the money that you're receiving is not rental for, it's not wages, it's not a rental. You're paying for the soda, the candy, whatever it is that they bought. However, if you have a machine where you're not selling an item, it's providing some sort of service, then when a person is using the machine, if a person's renting a car, they're ready, we will run into problems of Schar Shabbos.
Like download?
What?
Like a download?
Okay, so download, you have to know, is that that's probably a Mekach u'Memkar. You're not paying, you're paying for the intellectual property or for the, but if, the truth is, if it's a license where you're just renting it to them, in theory you can have a problem of Schar Shabbos, but the license is not just to use it on Shabbos. The license is to use it Leil and Void. Once it's loyal and void, it's going to be havla, like we'll discuss shortly.
Why?
I know that was a mouthful, but you'll understand better in a few minutes.
Why is
that a problem? No. In some cases, it will be. My point is, if you do mekach u'memkar, either you do a be'eser, or in cases where it's beheter, like a vending machine, we will see there are many mekilim on a vending machine, then once schar Shabbos will not apply.
That applies also in a case like a stock, a stop loss,
correct. In all of these cases, you'll have to deal with the Isser of Mekach u'Memkar. Are you allowed to put in an order where it will be sold on your behalf on Shabbos? You're engaging in Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos, and that we'll discuss next week and perhaps the week after. But as far as Schar Shabbos, if your question is, I made a killing, what's the halacha, what's the status of this money? The money is mutter, there's no Isser of Schar Shabbos. So we have to, again, we just want to break up the issues. There's one issue of Mekach u'Memkar, can I sell this on Shabbos? There's an independent question of Schar Shabbos, when there's work done, when there are wages paid, is this money usur? That does not apply to Mekach u'Memkar, that applies only to either wages or schiros. So now the Gemara, we just went through the Gemara, this Gemara which is the Makar of the Isser of Schar Shabbos. The Gemara then continues a bit and says a tremendous heter and a tremendous kula in Schar Shabbos. What the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, the Isser is only, you pay a person per day. He's watching the child, he's watching the field, he's getting paid $100 a day. So the schar, the wages that he earns on Shabbos is going to be awesome. Zok the Gemara, if you hire someone by the week, you're not paying him per day. You pay him $700 a week to watch this item. You're hiring by the month, the year, 7 years, whatever the amount will be. It's one big job. So even though it's included in this job is working on Shabbos, and even though it's pretty clear, when you made your calculation, the number that you were $700 a week was not pulled out of a hat. You made a quick calculation. You know there are 7 days a week. $100 a day is the normal rate. But still, since it is one big job, you hired him for a week. It's one chunk of a week. Shabbos is not singled out. So there we look at you're paying $700 for the week. That is mutter. That is called Tzchar Shabbos Bahavla. It is mixed in with wages that are mutter because it's Yom Yisachol. And here the Isser of Tzchar Shabbos does not apply. And what that means is, if you're a landlord and you're renting out a unit for the month, so even though clearly the amount that you're charging may be based on how many days there are, and you know certainly he's using it on Shabbos, since it is one rental for the month, that was called Tzchar Shabbos Bahavla, and that would be Mutter L'Kulei Amo. Where you will run into more of a question, which we'll address soon, is what happens if the person stays past his lease? Very often it says, once you're past the lease, once you're supposed to be out, there's a certain rate per diem. You're going to pay $150 each day that you're here past the end of the lease. Now in that case, it's $150 per day. Each day that they stay, they have to pay this set amount. And therefore, in such a case, if they're there on Shabbos, we have this problem or this issue of Schar Shabbos.
They can't specify from 12 a.m. to 12
a.m. Okay, we got to that. Now, when you're dealing with Schar Shabbos Bahavla, this is a very, very big Eitzah. When you hire people to do work for you on Shabbos, you have a Simcha, you're hiring waiters, the Eitzah usually is to make it Bahavla. Don't hire them only to work on Shabbos. Make sure that their work includes, or their responsibilities include work which will be done on Erev Shabbos or Matzoy Shabbos, and that way you can pay for it all together, Bahavla, and that will be Mutter. Now, when you do that, there are a number of things to keep in mind. The first is that the heter of Havla doesn't mean that if I pay you for Shabbos and at the same time I pay you for work you did on Sunday, that's mutter. The point is not when you pay that you're paying for two things. The point is when he did the work, his job included responsibilities that included both Shabbos and Chol. So if you hire a watchman to work for you $100 a day, he works Shabbos and Sunday, paying him $200 is going to be awesome. Because even though it's one check, you're paying it together, but you're paying him for Shabbos, you're paying him for Sunday. So you pay it together, that's not called Havla. Havla is you hire him to watch it for a week, or to watch it for 2 days for $200. So there where it's one job, one responsibility, and it's really indivisible, that's where that concept of Havla applies. So that means when you hire a waiter, if you're going to pay the waiter $75 an hour, and then you're going to make him work on Erev Shabbos or after Shabbos, that's going to be awesome. Because for his time on Shabbos, he's getting paid a flat amount, a set amount per hour. So that time on Shabbos, it's not Bahavla, that will be awesome. What we are, the case of Havla is you tell him, I'm going to pay you $500. What you're going to do is you're going to provide these services during the Simcha. You're also going to, let's say, clean up after Shabbos. That's all part of your responsibility. It's one job. You're not breaking down, this is for Shabbos, this is for Chol. So in that case, that's Schar Shabbos Bahavla, and that will be Mutter.
But the person doesn't know at all how many hours would be necessary on Shabbos. And how would it be possible for him to say, like, he has a Kiddush and a Lunch, in terms of the hourly payment to me, makes sense. He's paying $75 an hour, whatever it is. It sounds to me a little difficult, and I understand the person
can't. Right. It's difficult. It might be impossible in some cases. But it's going to be Schar Shabbos. If you're going to work per hour, it's going to be Schar Shabbos. So if you're dealing with a Jewish worker and you want to pay him per hour, you're not going to have a heter for that. You're going to have to estimate it, and whatever it is, sometimes you'll win, sometimes you'll lose.
Overtime is a problem.
What? Correct. Overtime, where they're charging you, where they're saying even more. It's on Shabbos. You went over this amount of time. It's X amount. Overtime would certainly be aser. You will not have the heter of havla because it's not muvla. Even cutting the check together at the same time, it does not make havla. Havla is when the job, it's one big job that includes Shabbos and Chol, and no payment is being specified. I'm paying you this for Shabbos.
If I hired somebody, and let's say somebody who puts together a kiddush,
Wait a second. There's no iser. Wait. Slow down. He has no problem. There's no iser to pay a goy schar Shabbos. Like I said before, the iser of schar Shabbos is on, according to most places, on the makabel, the recipient. You can't get paid for Shabbos, perhaps as an iser to work for Shabbos when you're getting paid specifically for that. There's no iser to pay a goy to work for you on Shabbos. If the waiters are goyim and you're paying them per hour, that's perfectly fine. When you're dealing with a goy, the only issue is amir lakum, and like we discussed, that's only when they're doing actual malacha or they have to do actual malacha.
But the guy who's ampeg, like they call him the contractor, he has the same problem.
Correct. If he's paying the yidin per hour, that will not be bahavlo. Bahavlo has to be where there's a flat amount and his responsibilities include Shabbos and some amount of time on during the week. Now another chiddush from Shlomo Zalman. He's talking about a case. Going back to our case of a chazan, you pay someone. You pay a bal tefillah. So imagine the Beis Yosef is meikel because it's for a dvar mitzvah. But the other eitzah, if you do not want to be samech on the skula, and also we mentioned ein roya simen bracha. So befrat on the yom noyrom, chazan is going to be davening and ein roya simen bracha is something that you want to avoid. So the eitzah is to do bahavla. So what do? You hire the chazan to daven Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You're going to pay him $10,000. And you tell him you have to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Matzah Yom Kippur. Now we have Havlah. Now the job includes both on Yontif and after Yontif. So here Shlomo Zalman says, not so fast. He says, when a chazan's davening Yom Kippur, we know he's getting paid, he's a chazan, that's what he gets paid for. Matzah Yom Kippur, we all know what davening, unfortunately, sounds like. What? Oh, very good. Zakum Shlomo Zalman, if he wants to daven slicha, something which is significant, something which at least conceptually you can pay for. So even though Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is obviously where the bulk of the money is coming from, but he did two services that have value, you want to do a bahavlah, he says that you can be mekel. If he's going to do something that no one pays for, he's davening a Matzoy Yontiv, which it's just unheard of. There's not something that you get paid for. He says to do that and say it's one havlah, I'm paying you the $10,000 to. He says that doesn't work. It has to be something that has something that people could pay for. But he says slichus is fine, even though also by slichus it's clear the bulk is for yontif, since at least part of it is for slichus. It's a real service. There he's mekel. So the Aruch HaShulchan is matter based on preparation. He says the fact that you have to spend time during the week preparing, he says that itself is a heter. The other achroinim and truth is the Beis Yosef, the Torah that discussed Tkiyah Shofar at least do not bring that up. Either Tkiyah Shofar didn't need any preparation, maybe, but it's more mistavra that when you pay someone, you don't pay someone for preparation. You're paying him for the service that he performed. The fact that he needs to prepare, whether he does prepare or doesn't prepare, that's his issue. But it's not part of what you're paying him for. And if it's not part of what you're paying it for, the other Akhwayim, Lukhoyim, and perhaps Rishayim, Mestam Mehel, that's not called Havlah. Havlah is when I'm paying you. This check that I'm giving you is part for Shabbos, part for weekday. But in this case, I'm paying you for the service on Shabbos. I'm not paying you for the fact that you needed to prepare.
Isn't that the head to pay
Rebbe? What? This is the sugya. There's one heter is it's a dvar mitzvah. So we said that's a machlokes. The minhag is to be mekel. It's ein roya simen bracha. If there is havlah, if you have them, if you're paying the rebbe per hour, like we mentioned before, it's not a havlah. But if you tell the rebbe, I'm going to pay you $150 a week, and you're going to teach my son these, Monday, Wednesday, and on Shabbos, that would be bahavlah, and that would be mutter, and that is the best. Oh, Pisuk Tamim. Okay, good. That's.
I'm saying the same story. If you're paying
Schar Betela, I understand. But a chazan that's davening is not getting paid for his Schar Betela, right? And this idea of and Schar Betela on Shabbos also doesn't matter. What's the Schar Betela on Shabbos? What other job would he be doing on Shabbos that he would be able to accept money? Exactly. So over here, again, the Aruch HaShulchan's chiddush is that Hachana itself is a heter. The other achroinim that do not say it, l'chayra, argue because of this svara, that it's not what he's actually being paid for.
Which part of the transaction is also, if he making up the heskel?
So the Rambam says, it's bein b'mayis and bein b'dibur. So it sounds like both. One of the discussions we'll deal with next week is whether a hischayvus or the obligation without the transfer is going to be usur, and that's negeah for eBay and these auctions. But that's. So, we're going to discuss next week when the Mekachu Memkar Pashtus is when the Kinyan takes place. Now, I don't know how you buy a cleaning lady. I mean, we'll have to figure out, is it a Hischaivus, is it a Kinyan, is it a Schirus, is it a Mekachu Memkar? But let's hold off for next week. It will be very negeya with all these websites and these things at what point the Mekachu Memkar is considered Nigmar. But for Schar Shabbos, when we're dealing with wages, it's not a question of when the deal was Nigmar. It's a question of I'm paying you for work that you did on Shabbos, for rental on Shabbos, then it will be awesome.
So what's the problem with the snowball contract when it snows on Friday night?
Wait a second. Completely, that's Amir Lakum. That's not Schar Shabbos. The person who's plowing it is a guy. There's no problem with Schar Shabbos. The issue is, when I tell the guy, when it snows, you must be here. So there it's Kaveya Malachtoy on Shabbos. So it's true. If he doesn't, if you give him 48 hours from when it snows to come, he can come whenever he chooses. Then you can argue it's a daita d'nafshei. He wants to get it over with because if he waits 48 hours and be melted, I can hear such a svara. But if you tell him you must be here right away, then you're being kaveya malachta. You're forcing him to work for you on Shabbos. You also may have a problem if it's bifarhesia, but that's amir l'akam. We're not going to go back into all of those halachas. So anyway, so again, to briefly recap, we have a heter of havla. If the job includes yomayis hachol and yomayis Shabbos at the same time, you're paying him for all of it together. You're not singling out Shabbos. That will be derech klal b'motzer. But it has to be, number one, you can't be being paid by the hour on Shabbos because then you're basically breaking up the job. And also, the Shlomo Zalman's Mechadish, it has to be something that you actually pay for. It's something that's real work. Now, a similar case, we mentioned before that the Gemara that discusses Schar Shabbos is talking about wages. The Rishonim add that Schiras Batim, if you're a rental, has a similar issue. Magan Avram has a new case, and he says a person is a Malva Baribis. Person lends money to a guy, he charges interest. So what is interest? What are you charging for? So if you think about it, what are you doing? You're essentially, and the Chavis Das really explains, this is the whole lumdus of Ribbis. He says you're renting your money to a guy. So Zakta Magan Avram, if when you open your bank, your rates are based on per day. You charge him a certain amount of interest per day. So then, where the guy is basically, he's paying you schirus for Shabbos, he says that will be awesome. And if you do that, if you rent money, if you charge a guy interest, he says, at the end of the year when he repays back the money, you're going to have to credit him for every single Shabbos. Because accepting payment from him, that's Schar Shabbos. You are renting your money to a guy b'Shabbos, and that, he's the Magen Avraham says, will be awesome.
He said the prophet was
mutter,
just that you couldn't do it.
No. That's Vayekachu Memkar. The Nekachu Memkar, we said, is an issur of selling it. When you sell it, the money is fine. By Schirus, by Schar Shabbos, Adra, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do any malacha, but the Schar that you accepted is going to be awesome.
So, for Goy, per hour on Shabbos, he cannot pay anything for us.
Correct. You can hire a Goy on Shabbos. The Goy has no issur of Schar Shabbos. If you are hired by a Goy to work on Shabbos, even though there's no malacha, there is an issur of Schar Shabbos to accept the money. Correct. No, it's an annual rate, but it's calculated per day. It's calculated per day. There's a rate and there's a yield. The yield is calculated per day, and therefore each day will be... Zakt Igros Moshe, before anyone runs out and starts cheshbening 1/7 of the interest that they earn. Zakt Igros Moshe, a beautiful cheshbon. Zakt Igros Moshe, when you go to a bank, so there's a certain amount per day. What is the definition of a day? What is the definition of Shabbos? Zakr of Moshe, Goyim work, day starts at 12 midnight, and it goes until 11:59 and 59 seconds the next day. Zakr of Igros Moshe, whenever you have money in a bank, it's true they may pay you interest each day. But their day, they have Sunday, Monday, Friday, and Shabbos. Friday starts Thursday night, 12 o'clock, and goes until Friday night, 12 o'clock. Shabbos starts, also goes until Zokrav Moshe. Every Saturday has a few hours of what we consider Sunday. It's Mitzvah Shabbos already. Since the interest that they're paying you, even for Shabbos, includes both both Shabbos and Yom Yischol, because there are a few hours of Mitzvah Shabbos, Zok Vigros Moshe, that's already Bahav Law. Once it's Bahav Law, you can accept all of it. Zokrav Moshe, what about a 2-day Yontif? 2-day Yontif, we have a problem, because the first day of Yontif, it starts in the morning, and at night, already it's the second day Yontif. So it's continuous Yontif, you don't have this Cheshbon. Zok Vigros Moshe, what's 2 days Yontif? We have 1 day of Yontif. Why do we have 2 days? Sveikah D'Yoyimah. Sveikah D'Yoyimah means, B'monor Shach, 1 day is not really Yontif. Since 1 day is not really Yontif, Zok Vigros Moshe, it's Vayter B'Hav Law, and it will be Motim. However, very good. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRich, you may not have this Cheshbon. Or what happens if Yontif Shcholiyah is be a Sunday or on Friday? So here we have Yontif followed immediately by Shabbos, or Shabbos that goes immediately into Yontif. Here you do not have this heter. It's not Bahav Law. It's all Shabbos or Yontif. Zokrav Moshe, in such a case, you have to take that interest that you earned during that day, and you have to, it's Takas Char Shabbos. He says you're allowed to take it, but you have to give it to an Ani anonymously, where you have no benefit from it. Now, Baruch Hashem, the banks today are very, very worried that it's a mikshol for people. Therefore, they pay people 0.01% on their money. The amount of money you're dealing with is a minimal amount. But the la'alocha, a person should make sure that he should be giving tzedakah anonymously regardless. But in his cheshbonos, he should make sure that at least that whatever interest he's earning during this Shabbos, two day Rosh Hashanah or Shabbos and Sunday, that amount should be given anonymously to aniyim.
But now, sometimes they calculate it every month. So if you transfer that in the middle of the month, you wouldn't get.
If they do that, that's mutter. If they're calculating by the month, if you buy a bond is you're buying it by the year. They're paying every 6 months. So even though when you sell the bond, you obviously your chesh will be per day, but your relationship with the person who owes you the money, the company or the government that borrowed from you, the deal is they'll pay you X amount for 6 months. That's Bahav Law. That's Motzer L'Charchiv. It's only when they say, this is the rate, but we're going to compound it each day, and if you take it out in middle, you're going to get paid for that day or for those days and not more, then they're breaking it up. They're telling you, this is the amount per day. You can stop whenever you want. We'll pay you for however long you were there. You lose the heter of Havla. Correct. The CD, if you cannot take it out, or if you take it out, you lose the interest. It's Bahav Law. They're telling you for a year or 2 years, whatever the term is, this is the amount we're going to pay you for the CD. That would be Bahav Law, and that would be Mutter. Now, the truth is, there is Machlokes. Even if you would break the CD, they would go back and make a Cheshbon. There is a Machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it. If you have a Schirus for a long term, but internally, or if you break it in middle, we'll go ahead and we'll calculate per day. So there, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a svara that it could be that's still mutter. Because since the arrangement, the deal is 3% for the year, even though if you go ahead and you break the deal, you change your mind, that we're going to calculate per day, good. So if that happens, we'll worry about it. But since the deal itself is one long term, that might be Bahav Law, even if b'di'evet, if it gets broken, it'll be calculated per day. It's where's it being invested? I mean, when you're putting in a money market, it's being invested. It's being invested if it's in an overnight sweep or something. You're getting paid for that for each day. If they're investing it in short-term bonds, that's Bahav Law, and that will be Mutter. So you really have to know more about exactly what's going on with the money that you're putting into this fund. Now, what happens if you have your money in Israel in a bank that has a heteriska? A heteriska. How do we deal with that? So over here, the Minchas Yitzchok has a very nice cheshbon. He says, if you have a heteriska, you don't have to worry about these problems. Because what's the issur of Schar Shabbos? Schar Shabbos is wages or rentals. You rent out your money X amount per day, that's Schar Shabbos. When it comes to a heteriska, what's happening with an iska? When you put the money in the bank, you're a partner. You're two partners. As a partner, what's your right? You're entitled to half the profits. Now, with a heter iska, you make, you know, although you're entitled to half the profits, he has to make, he has to bring Eidim, make a shvuah, the whole, whatever the setup is. And you have a deal with him. If at any point he wants to buy you out of the partnership, he can pay you a certain amount and buy you out. So if when you have money over Shabbos, even if the interest, if you will, is calculated daily, the pshat is not he's paying you rent for your money. The pshat is your partners. He can either give you your full partnership or he can tell you, I'm buying you out of your partnership. If you have partners and they make up that to buy me out, this is the amount that I want, even if the calculation is based on how many days you were partners, but when you make that payment, you're not paying rent for using his money. You're paying him out, you're buying out his partnership, and this is the way you're calculating the price of the partnership is based on how long the partnership lasted. But it's not schiros, you're not paying rent for the money, you're not paying for the use of the money. You're simply buying out his equity ownership in your investment, and therefore this, the Minchas Yitzchak says, this will not have a problem of Schar Shabbos. Now another case which the Ramah brings down is a person hires a worker. He says, I'm going to pay you X amount per month, which is, I'm going to pay you $3,000 a month with $100 a day. So the Ramah, so over here, this is a tremendous machlokes, had a deal with this particular circumstance. I'm going to go through it briefly simply because it'll really bring up some points that we discussed in Schiras Payolim. But the Eli Rabba understood this case to be like this. They made up $3,000 a month. But then he told him, I'm going to pay you at the $100 at the end of each day. So the Eli Rabba understood, according to at least in the Darkei Moshe, that that's going to be awesome. Because even though you made up to pay him $3,000 a month, the moment you tell him every day I'm going to come to me at the end of every day, I'm going to give you $100, you're breaking up the job. You're basically being chaser, and you're saying each day is independent. That's why I'm paying you independently. Each day, and you're no longer hiring for a month. It's really being paid daily, and therefore, according to Ramad, that would be awesome. The Eli Rabba argues. Eli Rabba says, no. You said I'm paying you for a month. A month is 3,000. Now, it's true you made up afterwards. I'm going to pay you at the end of each day. Now, la halacha, normally you pay at the end of the job. So you decided to be generous, the person needs the cash, you agree to pay him a little bit at the end of each day. But since you explicitly told him the job is for a month, Zakat Eli Rabba, that would still be considered Bahavla, and that would be Mutter. Now based on this, if anyone remembers when we learned Schiras Payolim, we said over that Igros Moshe has a tremendous chiddush. When you hire a worker, if you don't say how long he's working for, Igros Moshe says he's hired forever. That was the chiddush of the Igros Moshe. The Chazon Ish argued. Chazon Ish said no. He's hired for as long as the pay period is. If you pay the person every month, then we look at it as if his job is month by month. He's hired for 1 month. In the beginning of each month, he's hired for another month. We look at the pay period. Chazanish does not say what his makar is, but it's probably from this halacha. This halacha, we have a Ramah that says clearly that if you pay someone at the end of each day, we understand that to mean that each day is a separate job. Now, even though the Eli Rabba argues, and Mishnah Berurah goes with the Eli Rabba, he says, even though, that's only when there's a stira. You start off by saying, I'm hiring you for the month. So there, even though you said, I'm going to pay you every day, that's not a stira, we still keep it as a month. But when you hire a person stam, you don't say anything. The only thing you make up is, I'm going to pay you every 2 weeks or every month. There, this is the aside of the Chazon Ish, we consider each month or each 2 weeks as a separate job. And therefore, anyone, the Baal Bayis, has the right to be chayzer after the 2 weeks, after the month, and he can fire the worker. He won't run into any problems. So again, what we see from here is that based on when it's done stam, you will pay, that we will assume the job only lasts as long as the pay period. When you specify, I'm hiring you for a year, but you pay him more often, there already we have machlokes, Eli Rabba, Ramah. Mishnah Berurah ends up saying that the halacha is like the Eli Rabba. That we go, since you hired him initially for the year or for the month, then that is the ikar sliros, and that's and it'll be mutar al tavla. Now, when we're dealing with havla, the Gemara's example is you hired someone for a week, you hired him for a month. Even though every week includes one Shabbos, that's considered havla. Now, what's that case? We have 6 days of heter, we have 1 day of Shabbos, which would be aser. So, since it's all lumped together, it would be mutar. Now, what happens if you don't have, if the proportion is not quite as drastic? So over here, the Marshag says that you do not need what one day of Shabbos connected 6 days of Chol. He says you can hire someone for a few hours before Shabbos and a few hours after Shabbos, even though the bulk of the work is on Shabbos, that's mutter. His example is you rent something for 30 hours, 24 hours approximately of that is Shabbos, 3 hours before, 3 hours after. He says that is considered b'havla, and that will be mutter. You do not need that yemois hachol should be mutter. Now today, if you look at many of the agreements that people write up, people seem to have taken the Marshag's kula and run with it. Many of the agreements say that the sefirah starts a half hour before Shabbos and extends until a half hour after Shabbos, and they're being samech that an hour itself is enough of a havla, even though, you know, again, even though the bulk and the vast majority of the payment is actually happening for 40 mois to Shabbos. Now, another very important kula is the Nadi Behuda discusses a case where a lady went to the mikvah on Shabbos. Are you allowed to pay for the mikvah? Now, if you think about it, what's paying for a mikvah? It's a schiras. You're renting, you're paying for the use of the mikvah on Shabbos. So l'chayra, this should be schar Shabbos. So the Nadi Behuda says it's mutter for two reasons. First of all, he starts off, it's a dvar mitzvah. As we mentioned before, dvar mitzvah, there are many mekilim, the minhag is to be mekel, and maybe in a roya simin bracha, but because it's a dvar mitzvah, there's makom to be mekel. Then the Nadi Behuda says a tremendous chiddush. He says when you're using a mikvah, so on one hand, it's a schiras. You're renting, you're buying the right to use the mikvah. On the other hand, Zak the Nadi Behuda, the water, how do they keep the water warm? They had eitz and they had fuel. They had to burn the fuel in order to make it comfortable for the people to use. Zak the Nadi Behuda, when a person pays to use a mikvah, he's really doing two things. On one hand, he's paying for the use of, he's renting the mikvah. On the other hand, he's essentially buying the fuel. He's paying you to burn the fuel. That's not schirus. That's mekach u'memkar. And since, as we pointed out before, there's no issur schar Shabbos and mekach u'memkar, Zok the Nadi Behuda, as long as there is some mekach u'memkar involved, now the entire amount is motor because it's b'havla. Now a similar svara, the Marshag and the Elul Hilchos Shloimeh say, what happens if you run a hotel? You run a hotel, people come in on Shabbos. People come in, and so again, if they're renting Friday and Shabbos, we have the Hetzer, we have the Negros Moshe, they'll be Yemois HaChol. But what would be if they check in Friday night, they check out at 12 o'clock, they're only there for Shabbos? Chare, this is Schar Shabbos, it should be awesome. But Zog, the Marshag, no. Since they're coming in, they're using the towels, they're stealing the soap, they're taking things that you have the right to charge for. There's an element of Mekach HaMemkar involved. So therefore, even though the amount that you're charging them is clearly more than the Mekach HaMemkar, he says this you have the same hetzer of the Nadi Behuda, that would be called Schar Shabbos B'Havlo, and that would be Motzi. Now, what? Again, Mekach HaMemkar is different. Mekach HaMemkar, we will have to deal with why, when it's Motzer or when it's Osir, we'll have to deal with why you're allowed to open a hotel on Shabbos. Next week, we will discuss when Mekach HaMemkar is okay and when it's a problem. But the moment you call Mekach HaMemkar, Sai Be'isr and Sai Be'heter, we don't have to deal with a problem of Schar Shabbos. Now, in a similar point, and this is the truth, is Marshag makes this by hotel, uses this svara as well. If you rent a car to a guy on Shabbos, so he points out, what would be if on Shabbos the guy would come over to your car, take an axe, and smash the window? Can you send him a bill after Shabbos? Avada, he's a mazik. So he is mazik you on Shabbos. That's not Schar Shabbos. So the Marshag, if you rent a car to him, it's true you can't charge schiras. But if he drove it around town and there's wear and tear, you're allowed to bill him for the hezek, for the damage that he caused. Once you're allowed to bill him for the damage that he caused, again, he says, you don't have to bill only for that damage. You can now charge him whatever schiras he wants, and that will be mutter b'havla. Now, the Achrayim point out that imkein ein l'dover soif. Any case of schiras, you can always come up with some theoretical loss that involved and call it a havla. And it's clear on the Poskim that Schar Shabbos could apply to schiras. So they say it has to be a hezek which is mesuyim. It has to be something which is identifiable. It's something which is real. You can measure it. And in that case, since you have the right to charge for the damage, you can charge for a schiras, and that would be bahavla. But someone driving a car 10, 15 miles, even though there probably is some microscopic wear and tear, that would not be enough. It has to be something mesuyim, and that would be a heter of schar Shabbos. So in many cases, when you're dealing with a problem of Schar Shabbos, you will either be able to work out by Havla, or you'll have the Noid B'Yudim Arshag's kind of heter. If there are other reasons to charge him, if there's any damage involved, if there's any Mechach U'Memkar, then the entire thing will be Mutter B'Havla. Right.